And so I'm going to ask Robbie then to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13 as a reminder that it's God that does this work. It's not how much faith we have, but God does it all, not on our merit. Robbie, would you read Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13?
Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out with your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Thank you. Now, I hope you all remember when we were going through our study of Philippians, that first verse there, 12, kind of makes us a little nervous. Work out your own salvation. But really, we don't have time to go into that again, but it's kind of along the same lines as what James talks about, that there should be evidence of the true conversion that God has done. And then Paul makes it clear then in verse 13, this is the one I want to focus on for tonight, for it is God who works in you. God does the work, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God gives us salvation. We've seen in Ephesians, he chooses us and he's chosen us. We've talked about that. But this is God's work. And therefore, we don't come into this doubting that somehow we're not good enough. None of us are good enough, and none of us can have merit to achieve salvation for ourselves. It's all God. And so even at the beginning of this discussion, we need to show people and make it clear we cannot lose our salvation. But if you notice, I'm making a caveat when it is genuine. And that really for some people is what they struggle with. Well, was it a genuine conversion? And what I'll say on that is someone who has struggled with that many times and has battled that in my own life, especially when I was younger, is that most of the time in my experience, now I'm talking my experience here, only God knows hearts, let's be clear. In my experience, those that are usually sensitive enough to worry about that have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. But there's a problem, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. But there is an aspect of some that claim to be believers, and yet it doesn't seem they can live a life that seems detached from God without any powerful evidence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and it doesn't seem to bother them at all. And this aspect, it becomes clear that salvation can only be lost, and I'll put that in quotations there, if it was never a reality at all. There are some passages in Scripture that almost sound like someone can lose their salvation, but what they're actually referring to is one that never really, the salvation, that conversion was never genuine at all because it wasn't real. For whatever reason, they're just playing a game and they haven't put their faith and trust, genuine faith in Jesus. There's a number of examples of this. I'm going to ask, next in line here is Gary. Gary, would you be willing to read for us Matthew 7, 21 through 23? And then after you, Bill, if you would read 2 Timothy 3, 5. And one aspect of this is those who are following false religions or cults who even would say, yes, I have respect for Jesus Christ, but they're not following after the true Jesus. Following false religions does not provide salvation. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Gary, would you read that?
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
All right. Now, in context, this is a little bit broader than just false religion and cults, but it certainly includes those. But anyone who, even having experienced the blessings of a church environment, and maybe experience some of the blessings of ministry work, but that never really had a true conversion, can do things for God and think that they're okay, and yet they're not. There are many religions and cults that believe that Jesus was a good man. He was a good teacher, or maybe even believe that he is the Savior, but that that's not enough, that you also have to include works. And all of those people then, even if they're sincere and they talk wonderful things about Jesus, they're not worshiping and following after the true Jesus. They're following after one, that a gospel, a false gospel that Paul warned us about that's been distorted, a false view of Jesus. And so these, unless we are following after the Bible pattern of the gospel and what we believe about Jesus Christ, there are many who are, think that they're following after Jesus that really are not at all. And they're going to be genuinely surprised one day when they find out. When Jesus says to them, I never knew you, depart from me. That may be harsh, but they had opportunity. And they were hypocrites. And so their time will come. Bill, will you read, I said 2 Timothy 3:5, I believe, right?
Yep. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
Okay. There are people that can seem even godly. Even that they are good people that are following good rules, and yet they don't have the power of Jesus Christ because they're trying to do it on their own merit. And they deny the power of Jesus that says you can't do it on your own. Put your faith in me, your dependence on me, and let me do the work. And Paul says here, avoid those people. Not that you can't ever talk to them and encourage them about the gospel, but don't make those influential people in your life, or you may be tempted to follow that direction. So, are there those false religions, cults, that would even say, I follow after the Bible, I follow after Jesus, and yet are not true believers? Well, certainly. And they are not genuine. But there's also another category here, and I'm going to ask, let's see, Mr. Floyd, would you read for us Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 31. And then I'm going to ask you to skip ahead in a few minutes. Read that first, and then I'm going to ask you to skip ahead and read verse 39. So Hebrews 10, 26 through 31. I'll give him a minute to look that up. It's okay. Another aspect of this, the salvation can be lost, quote, if it was never a reality, is that is a blatantly sinful lifestyle that gives evidence that one's confession of faith is not genuine. Someone who claims Christianity but lives a life of sin and debauchery and seemingly has no evidence at all, like James has taught us, of the work of the Spirit. There are many that can claim Christianity, and they will find one day, and this is really when Hebrews, when the author of Hebrews, whoever he is, we don't know who he is, he has these passages like what Floyd's going to read in a minute, and it almost sounds like you can lose your salvation. Look at it carefully. It's actually those who give no evidence, and really their confession of faith is not genuine in the first place. Floyd, would you read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 31?
For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment in fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. of how much more punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
All right. Can you really have a situation where someone claims to be a Christian and is involved in the ministry of the church, the actual ministry of Jesus Christ, even a leader, a pastor, that can then ultimately reject all that they have get sworn allegiance to as far as the truth of God's word? It certainly happens. I've even in our news headlines over the past year, there was one man in particular who had written a number of books and had written a lot of good things. I had some of those books and benefited from them. And through it was a long journey that I don't even need to recount tonight. But he ended up leaving his place of ministry. He was a pastor. He was a teacher. He was an author writing good things. He left all of that and got involved in a secular education and came out last year then and said, I reject Christianity altogether. And we look at that and say, how in the world could that be? And my prayer is for this man that God will bring him to his senses, certainly. But very possibly he could have done all of that good work and never had genuine faith. It wasn't that he lost his salvation, because we've seen we're in the grip of the Trinity. But it never was genuine in the first place. And that is a fearful situation to be in. As Floyd read there, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. For someone to reject being even a teacher of the gospel and to reject it, that's a situation you don't want to be in. Well, what do you do then, though, for those that are sensitive and read this and say, well, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure if I really saved. Could this happen to me? Well, there's verse 39 from that same chapter, Hebrews 10. I'll ask Floyd to read that. And that's for these people. These first verses that Floyd read, 26 to 31, that's a wake-up call for those who would claim Christianity and think they can live a life however they want and live life for themselves. And hey, I'll just add on Christianity because it sounds like a good deal and I can get a whole ticket to heaven, but they really don't believe in Jesus. The author of Hebrews gives them a warning. No, make your faith genuine. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. You are in a very perilous place. But for those who have trusted in Jesus and are scared about their salvation, then verse 39 is for them. Go ahead and read that, Floyd.
But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Okay. And there's, you could also say, but those who have faith and preserve their souls. So here we have another group of people that are different from those that would basically claim Christ and that says shrink back and are destroyed and follow their own way. And then the author of Hebrews says, but we who are following after Jesus, although not even in a perfect way, but have a desire to follow him, have genuinely put our faith and trust in him, those who have true faith, their souls will be preserved. So the author of Hebrews lovingly and graciously gives us that balance for those that are sensitive about this as well. So I hope that's a help. There's one other category here. Oh, whoops. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's see. Steve Chandler, could you read 2 Corinthians or 1 Peter 1, 6 through 8? And then Paul Wetzel, could you get ready to read 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 6? Steve, that's 1 Peter 1:6 through 8. And what I'll say about that is God in his graciousness provides situations for believers to be tested. And we're going to see that in these verses. In his grace, he provides opportunity for our faith to be tested. Not so God can assess, because God already knows whether our faith is real or whether we're just faking it. God knows that. But he wants us to have confidence in our faith. And others around us that see us, they should see evidence of our faith. And so God allows sometimes difficult circumstances into our lives to help us assess our faith, and gives us great hope as we look back and we see, wow, God got me through those difficult times. I'm trusting in him. Wow, that's a sign that I'm a believer. My endurance. So, Steve, would you read 1 Peter 1:6-8 for us?
Sure. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye loved, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Okay. And then he says, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. There's a lot there we don't have time to get into tonight. But did you see there this testing, sometimes by fire? Sometimes God allows tests into our lives that are difficult. And we say, Lord, please remove us from these things. And God says, well, not this time. I know what's best for you, but I'm going to walk through them, through this difficult time with you. And he's doing that so that we can assess the genuineness of our faith and be encouraged by that. Let's see also 2 Corinthians 13:5-6.
Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates.
And reprobates there has the idea, thank you, Paul, of having failed the test. These are tests that God gives, but that we are supposed to pay close attention to. And even as was read by Steve in 1 Peter, one of those evidences as we go through that test is that you have not seen him, you love him. And if any believer has any kind of love for God at all, that love doesn't come from Satan. That love doesn't come from our sin. That comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, we would all agree that we don't love Jesus as much as we should, certainly, and we're growing in that. But if you sense, as you're going through these tests, Lord Jesus, I love you, and I'm trying to love you more. I want to love you more. And as you're going through these tests, you are drawn closer in your relationship to him, and you can see the Holy Spirit working, that you are seeing, as God tests you, the evidence of your faith. Isn't God a wonderful Heavenly Father to not just only save us through the sacrifice of his Son, but put us through experiences, even like this pandemic and even the things that we're facing? And who knows what we're going to face in the next couple of weeks? You know, it's like, okay, I wonder what next week's going to bring, the new crisis and the week after that. God allows these things. And as he works them through in our lives, we see the evidence of the Spirit. God gives us evidence of our faith. What a loving God to do that. But we are required to test. And again, for those that just claim Christ, but it's not sincere, it's not genuine, the Bible says, be warned, wake up. For those that are sensitive and say, I love Jesus, I'm just not sure sometimes I doubt. The Bible says, no, look at what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life. That's a true relationship you have with him. Well, as we continue here, there's one more category. And that really is the category. Remember the story I told you at the beginning about the young man, the football player? From everything that I could tell, he wasn't in the first category, but he was in this category. And that is this. Sometimes we doubt because sin can affect assurance of the reality of one's salvation. Sin can get in the way, not that we can lose our salvation, but we can lose our feeling or sense of assuredness of our salvation. It's there. We're a true child of God. We are held in his grip. But when we allow sin to get in the way of our relationship and draws us away from God, we walk away from him. He doesn't walk away from us. We can lose the sense of assurance of the reality of our salvation. And let's look then at a couple more verses here in Colossians. And let's see, Rick, if you would look up Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Oh, you know what? No, I've skipped ahead here. If you would go ahead, I'm sorry, Rick, would you read verse 2 Peter 1, verses 8 through 11? Can you hear me?
I got you. I'm just looking it up. I had Colossians already.
Yeah, that was my fault.
2 Peter 1.
8 through 11. And this is to show us that we can sometimes lose assurance of our salvation. Go ahead and read those verses for us.
2 Peter 1, 8 through 11. For if these qualities are yours and you and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you have practiced these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
All right. Thank you, Rick, for that. And that verse 9 specifically of 2 Peter chapter 1. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind. And that is one that is not growing in their spiritual maturity, but they are allowing themselves in one sense or another to temporarily regress. If one's whole life is a pattern of regression and sin, well, then that's in the other category. And again, in the end, only God knows the heart. But if we allow sin to get in the way of our relationship, so that we're not growing the way that we need to. Peter warns us here that we can, even though we haven't lost our salvation, let's be clear, we can become nearsighted or blind and forget about our salvation. In other words, lose our assurance. And this young man that I was talking to had allowed some sinful situations because he was a football player. He had been involved in some partying and he allowed some things into his life that were now affecting not his ultimate salvation, that was secure, but his relationship, his close relationship, daily relationship with Jesus Christ, because he was allowing this sin to get in the way of that, and he didn't have that assurance that he should have had anymore, because sin had distanced him in his relationship with Jesus Christ. One more passage here. Actually, a couple more. I'm going to go ahead and skip back up to Tom. Tom, would you read 1 John 3, 19 through 22? This is another passage that helps us with this. 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 22. And make sure that you're unmuted.
Okay, one second here. Okay, 19 through 22. Excuse me. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Okay. Thanks, Tom, for that. Verse 19, we have here that word reassure our heart. We shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure, that assurance that we're saved comes when we are following after, submitted to the Holy Spirit, allowing Jesus to help us to mature in obedience, not perfect obedience, but when we notice that there's sin in our life that's affecting our experiential relationship with Jesus, that we repent of it and ask for forgiveness and stay close to him, we will sense that reassurance again. What did I tell this young man? I said, what you need to do is turn from these things, these sins in your life. They're not keeping you from your ultimate standing before God. That's secure. But they're keeping you from your sense of assurance. And you get these things right and draw close to Jesus Christ again, and you'll sense that assurance again. And he prayed, and he said, I could tell the rest of the week, it was like a burden was lifted, and he had a joy in his heart about Jesus Christ that he had not had earlier that week. Now, on a side note, just to end that story, we did end up winning the competition, and we got the highest cabin award for the week, and that was exciting. And all the cheering and everything, and realizing that our guys had a big part in that. But you know what was way beyond that was the excitement of seeing this young man again experience that assurance of his salvation. Let me point out one more thing, and I'm going to read these final verses here, and I'm going to go back to Colossians. But that is this. True believers desire real spiritual change. I struggled in my own life for a long time with security of salvation because I kept wondering, I don't know if I have enough faith. And I remember a couple people in my life, Rand Hummel was one of those. I was listening to a message that he was preaching at the Wilds, and he said, do you have evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in your life? And I was struggling with assurance, Lord, I'm not sure I had enough faith. And I looked back in my life and I realized, oh yeah, I have seen God give me more of a love for his word. Well, Satan didn't give me that. That didn't come from my flesh. I have a desire to want to serve him. That didn't come from my flesh. That came from the Holy Spirit's work in my heart. Praise God. I see his work. So for those that are struggling, here's some questions that we should ask. Do I have a desire, any desire at all, to obey God? That only comes from the work of the Spirit. Do I love to read his word, or at least do I enjoy it? Am I growing in my love for reading his word? Do I want to increasingly become a mature Christian? Is there any desire in that in my life? Like Peter said earlier, do I love him? As you grow in your relationship with Jesus, the love will grow. But even as a new Christian, there ought to be some kind of love or affection for Jesus. And another important question, can I look back in my life and see a pattern of spiritual change? We can look back, and when we see the Holy Spirit's, all of these are work of the Spirit that only come as our inheritance, as those that are true believers. So if you have these things in the Holy Spirit's evidence in your heart, guess what? You're a believer. And that truth is because of the work that God has done in us. So why do we doubt? Because our relationship with God is one, either non-existent, or two, it's strained by sin. God does the work in our lives, but true believers submit and cooperate with his work. When we are sealed by the Spirit and held in the hand of the Heavenly Father and Jesus, true believers have no reason to doubt, but can have full confidence. Father, thank you for your word again tonight, and I hope this was a help to our folks. I know that even if we don't have folks that are struggling with salvation issues tonight, that we will guaranteed run into those that are. And may this information be of a help to them and encourage them together to give the right answers, biblical answers, and to help people to see the truth of whether they have a true relationship with Jesus or not, and to provide encouragement for those sensitive believers that are struggling. Help them to see the work of the evidence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.